Your mute button was on.
No. Oh, God. Come on. Seriously? No, it was my Skype settings.
Well, I forgot. How's that any better than your mute button?
Please. That's much better.
All right, hold on. I gotta get adjusted again.
All right.
I'm way out of sorts here because of this crazy computer.
Yeah, I'm out of sorts too, but not for that reason.
For one thing, it's freaking 104 in the shade here.
Oh God, it was so hot here too, but not that hot.
Did you get through traffic okay?
Oh my God. Okay. So yesterday I was in traffic for probably 4 hours, and today was about 2.5 to 3, so not awesome.
Wow. You live north of Atlanta, or like northeast?
Yeah, okay, so I moved from Alpharetta to Kennesaw to get closer to school, and so I am still north of Atlanta, but not as north as I was, but I work in Alpharetta. Like, I work 5 minutes from my old house. And I had to go to this appointment yesterday in Decatur, which is, like, on the other side of the freaking world from me. It's, like, 2 hours from me. So, it was bad.
Sounds horrible.
It's horrible.
So, Jamie, how far are you in the series now?
Okay, so I rewatched episode 2 because I went on to episode 3, so I've seen that, and you're right, it gets hella dark. It's, like, horrible.
Doesn't get crazy till episode 4.
What, seriously?
Yeah.
That crap was not, oh my God, that was insanity.
So you've watched up through 3?
Yeah.
All right, well, do you have any new theories?
No. I could try to reason them out while we're recording, but no, I don't have... I'm confused.
Do you have any old theories that you want to revise? Do you have any new thoughts, like you've readjusted since you've seen a few new things?
Yes. I no longer think that Tyrell has a possibility of being a good guy.
Okay.
I'm still annoyed by Darling.
Who's Darling?
Darlene.
Oh, Darlene, yeah.
So I'm still annoyed by her. I like Angela a little bit better.
Yeah, Angela's kind of a sweet, I mean, her name, right? Angela, she's the angel. She's the nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hate Alia a little bit less.
Oh, my God. You're going to start liking Ollie?
No. I just said I hate him a little bit less.
Okay.
I still have hate for him. It's just not as much.
Well, this is West Coast Project and our feed for Mr. Robot. This is Season 1, Episode 2, EPS 1.1, ones and zeros, .mpeg. Sam Ismail uses these titles too, Jimmy. He goes with 0 through 9. So 1.0 is the first episode, and 1.9 is the 10th episode.
Aha.
He's Mr. Frickin' Digital.
Right?
Which I guess makes sense. Like, 2000 is the first year of the new decade, right? Not 2001.
That's right.
All right, so let's start.
Okay.
We continue right where we left off in that boardroom.
That's right.
Tyrell and his cadre of lawyers are interrogating Elliot. Not interrogating him, but kind of interviewing him, right? That's more like it.
Yeah, they're interviewing him. Well, he's sort of not really even interviewing him. He's inviting him, kind of like begging him.
Power belongs to the people who take it. He's challenging him almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to hire Elliot as cybersecurity for E-Corp because they're going to ditch all safe pretty soon. They're gonna take all their security internally.
That's right.
And he tells them he can be a multimillionaire in 5 years.
Yeah, but Elliot doesn't care about money.
He pulls kind of that amateur move, like asking if you can think about it. You never really have to ask that. You can always think about it.
Well, you know, I think he was embarrassed, and I really kind of like that scene because it's so true to life. I mean, if I were in a gigantic, impressive boardroom with some dude who's like really powerful and kind of mysterious, and he offered me a job, I wouldn't be like, no, I don't want the job. I'd be like, can I think about it? So I could come home later, put some space between us emotionally and physically, and then turn him down.
Yeah, but a better way to ask if you can think about it is to say, like, is that all you got?
That's when you want money. You want more money.
Or you say, like, and 5 million in 5 years, and
if Elliot wanted money, he'd probably have done that. They would have probably paid him whatever he wanted, but he doesn't want that.
Well, Tyrell is the interim CTO, like the assistant to the regional manager on the office. He's not really the real CTO, his assistant. But he expects to be formalized real soon. Real soon, yep. He's going to be CTO. He's expecting it.
Yeah.
And that this whole procedure is going to cut off Allsafe. They're 80% of Allsafe's business, so that's going to be a big death blow to Allsafe. And Elliot just says, I'm happy where I am. And Tyrell is pretty devastated. At the least, yeah. Very least, he's disappointed, but he looks pretty hurt.
No, I agree with you, because he's standing there at that giant window looking out, and then he just puts his head down, like, in defeat.
Yeah, I'm sure he's used to getting what he wants or getting things to roll the way he expects them to go.
Yeah, but you know what was interesting about that? I thought it was so really interesting that that he had that, because he doesn't seem to be that kind of, well, actually, we know he's not that kind of guy. I mean, you know, he's not the kind of guy who lets his emotions sort of, you know, bring him to that kind of place that's kind of close to his heart. And that's what it seemed like to me. But let me ask you a question. Is this the point? I think it is. We've already passed that point in that scene where he says, what's the word in English? Serendipitous. We've already passed that, right?
I don't even know.
Okay. So that weirded me out. Like, I was like, what the hell? Because when he said that, that was the first time I had any kind of inkling in my head that the dude might not be American, because he speaks perfect American English. And when he said that, I looked at the screen like, what?
Well, have we met his wife yet at this season?
No. I think that's episode 3.
She's Swedish, so they do a lot of fancy Swedish and other language talking. But you kind of threw me for a loop there, Jamie, when you said that he doesn't get that he doesn't betray his emotions. Tyrell doesn't betray his emotions.
No. His like heart close emotions, because that dude is out of control. But no, I mean like the ones that are close to his heart, the ones that would make you hang your head in sorrow when you're not getting what you want. That I don't think we see from him except in that one moment.
Okay. We'll see what happens with Mr. Tyrell. All right, Team Goon Squad takes Elliot back to his apartment. And Mr. X, just call me Mr. X. That guy was pretty funny.
Right, that was funny.
And he sees Vera struggling with Shayla outside the apartment. Vera, the drug dealer.
Yeah. Oh, no. That wasn't that guy.
Yeah, it was.
What?
That was the dyed blonde drug dealer guy that Shayla buys the drugs from. Vera. Okay, so Francesco wait. Vera.
No. Okay, so I am really confused, because that dude, is he the one who's up in Shayla's apartment later?
Yep.
I thought one of them was white and one was black. I really didn't think that's the same guy.
Well, his name's Francisco Vera. He may be like Latino.
Maybe
a mix. I don't know.
That was weird.
He drops a couple of N-words, like he's black, and he's like in the Like he's got all the word street language down and everything. But I think he's Latino, Francisco Vera.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I'm shocked that that's the same guy. I didn't realize it because you know in Shayla's apartment, he looked really kind of like medium to dark skinned. You know.
All right. Well, let's go through it. Elliot goes in there and he tries to re-up his drug order with Shayla.
Right.
But the problem is Shayla doesn't have the withdrawal drugs. She doesn't have the coming down drug. And she relents because she's kind of, I guess Elliot has kind of made her promise, don't ever sell me morphine without the withdrawal drug.
Right.
And she holds him to that or tries to. But
She says, I take that shit seriously.
But yeah, here's where she relents. I'm getting a little bit ahead of my notes. This is where she relents and just says, well, okay, if you promise not to take a lot, it's really good. That's a good promise to get from a drug user.
You know what I thought? It was really kind of cute. It was kind of adorable because she's like, you have to promise, you have to say it. And it was just such a contrast to like, I'm selling you illegal drugs that you're going to go into your apartment and snort up your nose.
In her teenage-y voice, well, okay, if you promise not to take a lot.
Pinky promise.
So Elliot starts talking to himself / us. And shows how he hacks Tyrell. He's hacked Tyrell. But then he finds out that this is all coming too easily and destroys his whole computer setup. Now, Jamie, does this really work? Can you microwave your memory cards and drill your hard drive? I know it probably works to destroy them, but you can't do this every time you think you make a mistake. Your computer bills are going to be hellacious.
No, that's extreme. Like that, I would never do that. But that's in the case that, I mean, like, you know, there are like hacks that you can get that there's just nothing you can do about it. Like, for example, if you have a laptop and you get a bad enough hack, which is not really impossible, like it's not so difficult. You could look up something on the internet, or I could, and try to figure out a way to install something on someone's computer by them clicking on something or whatever, and you could have real serious access to their computer as long as they had a battery in it. Like whether it's on or not. And in fact, there are computer programs that companies actually install that will allow you to do that. And it's not for sinister reasons. It's for good reasons. But you can also use those same programs like that to wake up a computer that you're using for nefarious purposes and listen to whatever's happening as long as the battery's inside of it.
Yeah, sure. Hackers are going to use those safety measures to their advantage to keep the hack going.
Yeah, exactly. And the person won't know what's happening because they think the computer's off. Like, it looks off, but it's working.
So he does all these high-tech things to destroy these high-tech new world products that we have. And while he's doing that, he comes across a Polaroid of him and his mom. That was a pretty interesting counterpoint, the Polaroid photo.
Okay, so I didn't really understand that. What was the... Was there any symbolism behind that, or was it just, oh, this is a sad moment, I'm looking at my abusive mother?
Yeah, he's a boy and his mom, man. What's the biggest, what could be bigger in your life than your mom?
I don't know.
All right, you're going to get some, this show isn't a tech show, it's a psychology show. We're going to see more of this pretty soon. So right after that, he starts doing more drugs. That's pretty apparent that this photo of his mom has had an effect on him. He's doing exactly what he promised Shayla he wouldn't do, doing more drugs than he should. Yeah. He's affected. He's affected by it.
Okay.
And then Flipper even pees on the pillow.
That dog is gross.
He's cute, but he's bad news.
Right.
All right, Elliot brings drugs into work. He has a little vial he brings into work. And all across the screens at work, he's seeing more and more news of Terry Colby's arrest. And he's wondering now about this frame job. Like, was this a good thing to do? Like, I framed this dude. I sent him down the creek.
Yeah, he questioned that probably two or three times in this episode, saying I sent an innocent man to prison.
So his boss, Gideon, gives him a raise and then asks him about that DAT file with Colby's faked IP address added into it.
Right.
Kind of asked him about it superficially, though he's not really drilling down. Like, that's a very suspicious DAT file with that IP address. Looks like it might have been added in later. He's just curious about it. It's not really, He's not really suspicious, I don't think.
No, I don't either. I don't know because, okay, so you know, but I don't. And, you know, I think it could be either way because sometimes people question something and they sound kind of, you know, not particularly interested about it, but just, you know, kind of in a, you know, tertiary sense. But maybe they're just clever. And they really do want to know, and they're trying to figure out what's happening. So,
right. And if you're paranoid and you're feeling guilty, you take it that way, even if it's not intended that way.
That's right.
Not that I'm saying anything, but so that all happens, and he kind of wonders what to do next. What's this F Society going to do next? And he starts to believe they're working with Colby. And he sees, like, hackers are going to release, I guess on the news, I'm trying to remember, but hackers are going to release more emails and secrets if Colby's not freed.
Yeah, well, yeah, they called Colby their leader, and they were demanding his release, which was just a clever, you know, way of further incriminating him, because now he's tied to a terrorist organization, basically. And what the guy said, actually, and I guess that was Mr. Robot, who was behind that mask, said, if you don't do what we say, we will kill you.
That implication was brilliant, because it really locked him in as being guilty. If you don't free our boy, we're going to do more damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they start showing Putin and Bernie Madoff and all these other evil world characters. Well, some of them pretty borderline, right? Tony Blair. Prime Minister Tony Blair and, well, Bernie Madoff and Putin, I guess you could easily say, fit in there. But their demands are to release Colby, release debt everywhere in the world, dissolve all the assets everywhere. They can't satisfy these requirements ever, but the interesting thing about this was the voice of Christian Slater leaks into this masked guy. Like, I think it was Christian Slater's voice.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, Jamie, any other, you want to project anything?
At this point, no.
Okay. okay, go to the street now. The CD kid on the street, selling CD rap albums on the street.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about this kid, Jamie, or do you know anything about him now that you want to project?
No. I mean, I don't know what I should know. He's like, buy my album. I mean, he kind of looked like Francisco, but I don't know if that was him.
No, it wasn't Francisco. All right, I'll prod you along a little bit. Because people listening to us have, you know, they're not at episode 2. They probably watched the whole series. So it'll be fun to, like, just see you catch up.
Okay.
So Elliot sees Ollie and Angela on the street kind of during this whole CD exchange.
Right.
And they're going to Morton's and they have a Groupon deal. They have an extra couple tickets or whatever, dinners. Elliot agrees to go, but just to get the hell away from them. He wants nothing to do with Ollie and Angela.
Right.
And he hears the CD kid. The CD kid's important.
Oh.
He's been on the street in front of Allsafe now for 2 weeks, so he's playing a relatively long game here. And Ollie doofusly agrees to get the CD and tweet it to all 48 of his followers.
Oh, okay.
But only if he likes the album. He's got 48 followers, Jamie, but his followers are growing.
Yeah, okay, now I got you, because that's how they got into his computer.
All right, you're catching on. So Elliot gets home, and there's all these questions now about the data dumps. He's reviewing history here. All these data dumps and releasing the Colby demands, they weren't part of the original plan of the society. So he decides to just cut all ties. Screw it. I'm done with F Society. I'm through with it. Uh-huh. But when he gets inside the apartment, he sees Darlene in his shower. And Darlene has just totally made herself at home here.
Yeah, I know. I don't like her. She's so creepy.
She even, like, steals his clothes, wears his clothes.
Yeah, what the heck?
Any more thoughts on Darlene? Any future projections on her?
Okay, so I think that Darlene is going to turn out to be somebody who is not a very good person, because she seems like she doesn't care about anything or anyone, and like she doesn't have any warm feelings at all. So, I think there's something to that. And, you know, she's talking about her boyfriend or whoever she lives with was proposing, and she was gagging at the fact that he would propose to her. And so, I don't know, she's manipulative because she's saying, I'll do my, moving out and getting away thing and distant thing, and then he'll forgive me or whatever. I don't know. It's just, ugh.
One cute thing about Darlene, her name's Carly somebody, but she talks in real life like she talks on the show. So it's really funny to hear her get interviewed.
Really?
But yeah, we'll hear more about Darlene pretty soon. So Elliot gives Flipper to Shayla to take care of, and he and Darlene take the train to the headquarters.
Yeah.
And here's where he finds out that her boyfriend proposed to her and she turned him down. It's like, it's all BS.
Yeah, that was when he was leaving his apartment. Oh, by the way, when he was leaving and he brought the dog to Shayla, there's this shot that the camera has. Like, the camera's, like, looking head down at the doggy, right? Like, straight over the dog.
Yep.
And did you see her welcome mat?
No, what did it say?
It's a fist, like a fisted hand sticking the middle finger.
So that's Shayla's welcome mat.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's cool. See, that's the stuff you catch when you rewatch.
I always rewatch. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. I think your problem is that you realize that I have a terrible problem with names. Like, I don't remember names. I remember details. Like, anytime that we have any conversation for any podcast, I'm good with the details, except for True Detective. But I'm good with that, but I just can't remember names. So now I'm paranoid about it, and I've got, like, my iPad open with all the cast names on it, and I've gotten other ones written down. It's bad. So I don't want to forget names.
You don't have to worry about it. Who cares? We'll Google it, or we'll just remember it. So Elliot spies more men in black everywhere he goes. There's guys in suits. Whether they are or not, they're, you know, they look like they're pretty ominous to him.
Right. He's worried. Okay, so they look ominous to me, too.
Well, yeah, because you don't know either.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know either. I've watched 10 episodes. I mean, who knows who those guys are? They're probably just like stockbrokers going home from work, but.
Okay, so, but like when Darling jumped on the.
Darlene.
I know. I'm choosing to call her Darling because I like that name better.
When you say Darling, I think of Flipper. Like, are you calling the little doggy Darling? All right, Darling.
Okay, so when awful Darlene jumped on the train, just ahead of those guys, Elliot was like, does she see them too?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great plot, man. Does she see them? Do we see them? Are they real? Is he just insane?
Yeah, right.
But Elliot's worried about Tyrell, and they go to F Society, and we get a commercial break. So when they show up at F Society, Elliot gets a big applause from the team, the F Society team.
Yep.
All right, so Jamie, Mr. Robot, while he walks in, Mr. Robot's shooting ducks. What do you think of that, Mr. Robot shooting ducks at that game? Any thoughts at all? It's really loud. It's like a very loud, like, bam, bam, like, whoa, wait a second, gunshots.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. It sounded like a gun.
Yeah. So any thoughts or not?
Well, okay, so I don't know.
It's okay. I mean, I didn't have any thoughts at the time.
Okay.
All right, so Elliot asks Mr. Robot about Darlene, and Mr. Robot tells him about the whole Steel Mountain data storage facility.
Yeah, that was insanity. Like, when that dude started talking about that, I was like, exactly the thoughts that Elliot had. I was like, get the heck out of there. That dude's insane.
Well, maybe insane, but effective, right? You can take out all this offline storage data.
But he's going to blow stuff up. He's a terrorist. He's going to, like, kill people.
Oh, just a few. All right, so here's the thing. So they take out the storage facility that AllSafe has. They take out the backup at Steel Mountain. So it's all, and this is Steel Mountain storage facility. It's all like offline. So it's like, it's like tapes, I guess, of stored data. And there's one other place in China where there's a redundant backup. And there's another group called the Dark Army that's going to take care of those Chinese backups. So if they can do that, they'll take care of, they'll wipe out all the records of all the financial dealings, essentially, to bring the whole financial universe down to the ground. Right? That's a fair recap of where we are with this.
Right.
So they did talk about what you just said, that Elliot's like reluctant. Like, I'm not going to kill people to make this happen. And if you, I mean, what is it? It's like a, there's some kind of a explosion that has to happen at Steel Mountain, like a gas pipeline or something, and that would involve people getting killed. Says, I'm not going to do that. If anyone gets killed, I'm out of this whole plan. And Mr. Robot says, okay, ones and zeros. Elliot, are you a one or a zero? And yeah, all decisions are boiled down to ones or zeros.
Right.
How did you like that? What did you think of that? It's kind of the name game of the episode, ones and zeros.
Right. Well, you know, that's binary code. And that's, those are transistors. Like, that's how any computer works. You've got a transistor, and if the signal is stopped, it's a zero because there's no electrical impulse going through it. And if it's open, then it's a one. And that's how every single thing happens inside any computer anywhere on the face of the planet, ones and zeros.
That's why we love you, Jamie, bringing that digital knowledge to the podcast.
Thank you, Mike.
So back at his apartment, he goes next door to pick up Flipper from Shayla. And Vera goes in there. Vera's sitting there, shirt off, sitting in his underwear, just getting high. Since Shayla's in the bathtub, don't just walk in on her. Shayla's in the bathtub.
Yeah, that dude is scary. Like, really, really scary. And that was a moment that, I mean, seriously, like, watching it, the thing that kept going through my mind was, number one, the acting. Like, that, whoever that guy is, I didn't, well, actually, let's see, because I have him. I have him pulled up here on my iPad. Give me a second. I'm going to look him up. Francisco. Where is he?
So while you're looking that up, Elliot has hacked him, Francisco Vera, and all the drug deals he does are through email and Twitter. This is kind of a new age but knuckleheaded drug dealer. He leaves a total digital trail of all his connections.
That's exactly right. It was so stupid.
So Vera asks Elliot his name, and when Elliot tells him, he asks if he's Googled it. He's into Google.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so but we're calling him the wrong name. His name is not Francisco. It's Fernando.
Okay, sorry.
Fernando Vera. And he's played by this guy, Elliot Villar. And I really, I'm glad that that we're talking about him and that I thought to actually look at his name, because I wanted to talk about that guy. He is a really good actor, and the writing for that dude is amazing because he's really, truly frightening. Like, that's what I was thinking, like, the second watch through, because the first watch I was, like, scared. And then the second time I watched it, all I could think of was, like, how crazy he sounded. And how legit he really sounded. Like I didn't think somebody was acting. I thought that dude was insane and dangerous, and I was scared.
Well, we'll see how your projections turn out, Jamie. I want to keep calling him Francisco, though. I'm on the doorstep of San Francisco here in Sonoma County.
Wait a minute. You don't get to call him Francisco if I don't get to call Darlene Darling.
All right. Fernando.
All right.
Fernando says that hate is his power. He's learned to live with hate. He's made it into his power.
Yep.
And he tells Elliot that's the Suboxone, the addiction drug, addiction prevention drug, is the only reason that Shayla ever met him.
Yeah.
And that's fate. So that's the fate that put Fernando, I'm going to say Francisco every freaking time, Fernando together with Shayla.
Well, and yes, and him together with Elliot, too, because he was saying it's fate that you and me met and all that's...
Well, great. Then he tries to tell Elliot that Shayla is his girl.
Yep.
And Shayla's fine. He leaves. Fernando leaves. Elliot breaks in and goes and finds out that she's fine, but she doesn't know why she's in the tub. So what do you think happened?
Well, I mean, he raped her. she was high. They smoked whatever it is that they smoked, and she got really messed up. And who knows what he gave her as a drug. And he raped her, and then he put her in the bathtub. And that water was so high. I mean, she really legitimately could have drowned because she was barely conscious.
Yeah, he doesn't care that Fernando Francisco.
Yeah.
All right, so we get to a commercial, come right back, and Shayla doesn't, you're right, because Shayla doesn't remember having sex with Vera, and Elliot wants to take her right away to the hospital or the police or both. He's like, get your bag, we're going. She doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
And this is a very, very, very interesting conversation, Jamie, because this kind of sets the stage here. She says, I make good money, and it's not like I have a choice. I have to do this. And Elliot, again, thinking to himself and to us, says that there's that invisible thing again controlling us, that invisible power, that money, monetary things and power control us.
Yep.
I think that's Esmail's real message in this show, is like power and money.
I don't know. I'm only two episodes in for the purposes of this podcast. And so I don't know, but I think that money and power really do have, those are the underlying themes.
Yeah. So Shayla asks him to stay there, sleep there overnight to, I guess, just protect her and help her feel safe.
Right.
The messages of life, do we decide them or do they decide us? They come to us. And do we make our own decisions or do we just roll with it and go with what life feeds us? And he weighs this whole math of Vera, like, okay, I can get rid of him, but then if I do that, I get rid of the morphine, and the pain that I've been hiding essentially comes rushing out. So his choice now is cold turkey or let Vera exist.
Right.
All right, so Elliot goes to Krista. I like Krista.
Yeah, I like her too. I really do. She's very empathetic, and the actress really, really portrays that empathy really well with her face and her eyes. And I'm going to tell you who she is. Her name is Gloria Rubin. That's the actress's name.
Yeah, she is good. She's got good, great expressions. When she looks surprised, she really looks surprised.
Yeah.
So he's not feeling good, and she says, about what, why not? And he says, well, about everything. And then they kind of repeat this earlier conversation. They talk about control. Are we in control, or do we just make the best of what comes to us? And very, very interesting question for this show. So Elliot has built this case against Vera and zips up the file and gives it to the police department. And the next scene we see is him and his crew getting picked up on the street. And he remembers, it's almost like he's remembering it while he's talking to Krista. It seemed like a major flashback because they almost make it look like it's happened a while ago. That Vera's been picked up a while ago at this point that he's talking to Krista. Hmm. Did you get that time difference at all, or did you not see that?
I didn't notice that.
Well, I think it is a somewhat of a flashback because he reflects that it was a mistake and that he should have done nothing. Like, he knows more than we know as viewers at this point.
Okay.
There's going to be some trouble to him turning in Vera that you don't know about yet, it implies at this point in the show that he knows about already.
Okay, so now I'm going to watch that episode back again because I want to try to pick up on that.
So he continues to talk to Krista. She reminds him that his father, well, if we have this choice, like, are we in control or do we just make the best of what comes at us? She reminds him that his father did nothing when he got cancer from his company. He did nothing and he just died.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe his father taught Elliot what he's thinking now. Maybe that's why you think it that way, because your father, you learned it from your father. And she gets frustrated. She says, tell me what's going on with you or I can't help you. She kind of implies that she sees that he's like hungover, like using drugs. She sees in his face that he's not totally healthy.
Right, exactly. And she said, you're repeating old habits and you're getting back to like old behaviors or something like that. Like, she realizes something really bad is going on with him.
Did you catch the name of the file, the music CD that Elliot writes for Vera when he makes
a
record?
I did not read it. I was like, Mike is going to ask me about it, and I couldn't see it. Was it like Santana or something? What was it?
I couldn't read it either. I just noticed that it's Teardrop kind of mixed in with the Sharpie.
Oh, wow.
When he wrote, this is why I think this is a pretty major flashback, because he's regretting what he did with Vera. Okay. But, yeah, there's a Teardrop on the Sharpie ink on the white CD at that point. Then his radiator clinks and clanks, and he looks up online to find interior climate controls.
Right. Okay. So remember last time you told me that on the screen, whenever he's looking at something, there's some pretty interesting stuff, so I should read it?
Yeah. Did you stop it and try to read it?
Yeah, I did. And okay, so the first interesting thing I noticed was that in the left-hand menu margin, or not even menu, but the left-hand margin of that web page was the word topology, which I actually was working with today at work. So I was like super curious about that. And the other thing is that the text that was on that page. Okay, so there's a kind of filler text that's been around since the days of Latin, okay? And maybe like the 18th century, maybe. It's called Ipsum Lorem, and it's filler text that you can find anywhere. Like, if you Google it, you'll find it, and you can get it for free. Like, if you wanted to, you know, like, put it in your blog, creating a template or something for WordPress, you could put it in there instead of having to actually put like real language writing in there.
Right.
And normally Ipsum Lorem is like what you would find in a page like that. But this one was not that. It was like this funky mix of like techie words and like verbs and articles. Like, it was a really, really weird mix. And I tried for a while to read it and like figure out if I could, because what it looks like is that it's a code of some sort. Like, if you could decode it, you would get a message.
I was hoping you were going to help me with this, because it's all about C registry and DNS routers and all this. It didn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, like, if you read it from a tech perspective, it doesn't make sense. So there's got to be something in there that's some sort of code, but I don't know what it is.
So what do you think the link is between the radiator? The radiator is a freaking 19th century invention. You can't look up interior climate controls about a radiator and get DNS and C registry information.
That's right. There's something weird going on. There's a message there. I don't know what it is. But he messes with that radiator on occasion. Like, he's done that a couple of times.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
All right. Well, Angela calls him, and he doesn't answer. Can you hear all that background motorcycle and motors and race cars going by?
Yep.
I'm sorry. I got to have my window open because it's blazing freaking hot here. But Ollie's trying to use the CD. We see Ollie now using the CD from the wrapper. He's such a doofus. There's no music on there. I can't get it to play anything. And then he gets a message while Angela's getting out of the shower. He's getting a message from his cheater girlfriend, Stella. Stella B. Mm-hmm. She wants Ollie to come over and see her.
And, yeah, you got to see these. Okay.
And you like Ollie at this point?
No, I hate him a little less later. Like, not now. I don't remember. It's episode 3 that I hate him a little less. Right now, I can't stand him. But here's the deal. When he goes into his computer and he's looking at the screen, like, not right when the Stella B thing happens, but, like, maybe a few moments later, I saw something really funny.
Okay.
All right, so he's looking, and you see, like, if you stop the screen and look, there's just, like, regular stuff. There's, like, work emails in there and everything. There's a Stella B email, but there's an email from Savings Bank, and it says, Savings Bank is the, you know, is the sender, and then it says, in the subject line, it says, account alert, you spent all your money on Coke.
On Coke?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. There's another scene coming up where we see Tyrell's emails, and they have some pretty interesting headers.
Hmm.
But the computer So Ollie kind of uses this excuse, like, she wants to meet up with an old friend, and he lets her go to see the old friend. I guess it was Elliot, right? She needs to go see Elliot. So he can go hook up with Stella, the Stella B girl that he's dogging Angela with. But then when that all breaks up, the computer watches Angela, so the computer hack has been affected, and the computer camera is now watching Angela. So did you connect who was watching Angela?
Yeah, that China guy, that like Black China or whatever it is.
Yeah, but the kid, that's the rapper kid. That's the kid selling the CDs on the street.
Oh, no, I didn't recognize him.
The Chinese language came across, so we know that he's connected. The rapper kid was connected to the Black Army, Dark Army from China.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's why he was setting up that long game to sell the CD on the street.
Wow.
All right, we get a commercial. We come back. Mr. Robot's on the pier. They talk about Steel Mountain. And Elliot has a plan now, Jamie, where he can do this without killing people. He can effectively put Steel Mountain into play without killing people. And Mr. Robot is mad that Elliot walked away earlier and that now he has him in debt. Like, you owe me for walking away. If you want back in, you owe me. And the way that he owes him, or the way to gets him to pay back what he owes, is tell me about your father. Tell me how he died.
Right.
So Elliot tells him, we were close, we were best friends. He worked at Evil Corp his whole life. He was a computer engineer and he got fired. He doesn't know why he got fired. But he got cancer, leukemia, and he never told his mother. But Elliot told his mother later as he got sicker and sicker. And then his dad pushed him, and he fell out of a window.
Yeah.
So Mr. Robot soothes him, pats him on the back, and asks Elliot if he ever thought his dad was right for hurting him. Like, yeah, he maybe have deserved it for betraying his trust. And then he pushes him off the railing.
Right.
You didn't commit to the sacred pact.
That's right.
So, that's Jamie. Right.
Yeah.
Now, any final thoughts or predictions?
I don't know. I mean, like, the wildest guess that I could have is that Mr. Robot is Elliot's dad.
Think Mr. Robot's a good figure or a bad figure? Good guy, bad guy?
Well, I think he's a bad guy. Like, a really bad guy. Who pushes somebody off of a railing onto rocks? I mean, those were rocks.
So what do you think? So, okay, you've seen episode 3, but what at the time did you think had happened to Elliot?
I don't know. I mean,
made it look like a pretty substantial drop when they first looked down before he fell. Like, well, they're up pretty high. Better be careful there.
Right. I mean, you know, I didn't think he was dead, but that was a bad enough drop that it could have killed him.
All right. So you're being real tight with the predictions. I'm trying to do my best to prompt you.
I don't have any. Okay, so I don't have any predictions. The only thing I can tell you is that, like, the only thing that has, like, sort of been, like, a thought in my head is that maybe Mr. Robot is Elliot's dad. But he doesn't look really old enough, and why wouldn't Elliot recognize him? So I don't know.
Do you still like the show as much as you did when you first started watching?
Not quite as much, but I still like it.
Interesting.
And I mean, based on episode 2, I still like it. But as you and I talked about, I've seen episode 3 at this point, and that one, oh God. I mean, talk about dark. that's dark.
Yeah, and I remember not getting really crazy till episode 4.
Oh, God.
So, you got that to look forward to. So, Jamie, what's your schedule? How do you watch these? Just come as what come may, what may come, or whatever. How do you figure out how to watch them?
Oh, you mean, like, with my schedule?
Yeah. Is it just me hammering you for podcasts, or... you don't ever want to, like, watch a few in a row because you're, you know, you want to find out what happened?
All right, so here's the deal. This is the weekend. I'm probably going to finish the series this weekend because I have no time. Mike, I'm in school, like, full-time. I'm taking 4 classes, and I'm working at least 40 hours a week. So when I come home from work, I am on my computer until about midnight. And I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work. So I have no time. And so, it's just, I catch it as I can.
Jamie, like this is the binge era, if you haven't noticed. You got to put your smartphone on something in your car when you're in traffic for 2 hours.
I wish I could. I was trying to do that yesterday. I was like, what can I do? What can I do? How can I get it on my phone? Because I was in traffic for 2 hours yesterday coming home. So.
Yeah, I retract that. I don't really mean you should do that. But it seems bad that you're in such long commute time that you can't take advantage of it.
Well, you know what I do? I listen to, YouTube videos and stuff that are about my subject matter. It's like I had a geography test last night, and I needed to make sure I understood, how to find the slope of a hill. So I listened to videos in the car on the way home.
I thought you were going to say you listened to our old podcast catalog. You disappointed me.
I totally do that, though. I really do. I listen to our old podcasts.
By the way, you can find that podcast catalog on westcoastproject.com, Jamie.
And that's an awesome place.
And this was the feed for Mr. Robot. Still is the feed for Mr. Robot. So, Jamie, how do people reach you on the internet if they want to tweet you while you're in traffic?
I'm at WordGirly.
All right, and I'm at ScathingTweets. And that's it until next week for Debug. The name of the episode is EPS 1.2 D3BUG.MKV.
Aha.
So what's the MKV protocol? What's that file?
Did you look the MKV? I think that's like Google Google Earth or something. Did you look it up?
No, I don't know.
MKV, let's see. MKV file. They're multimedia container formats, and you can incorporate audio, video, and subtitles into a single file. And I want to say it's either MKV or MKZ. I think MKV is Google Earth. Let me look it up. Just give me a second, and I'll open my geography class tab, because we have to use Google Earth for that. Oh, no. All right. So, University System of Georgia, the whole thing is down. I can't see it, but I'm pretty sure MKV files are for Google Earth.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm in the real world. I can just use Google. Of course, I get what you just exactly read to us. DivX, the DivX.
Let's see.
They show a bunch of Russian dolls that stack over one another. Matryoshka video files originated in Russia in 2002. The lead developer, Lasse Karkanian, with one of the umlauts over every other letter, worked with the founder of Matryoshka, Steve Lahome, and a team of programmers to create this comprehensive multimedia container file format. It got its name from the Russian word for nesting dolls, Matryoshka. Matryoshka. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's open source, completely free for anyone. Company also has a lot of resources, blah, 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 blah. So it's the Russian stacking Russian dolls, nesting dolls.
Yeah, that's where the name of it came from. Yeah, Matryoshka dolls.
I bet they're full of, bugs and hacks and...
The dolls?
Trojans. Well, the files that you see.
Files.
Like open file, very nice. It's got all kinds of other Russian projects inside it. All right, Jamie. Well, that's it for the second episode. I'm looking forward to catching into 3 and 4. And as this gets crazier, it gets pretty fun.
All right. I will count on you for your guidance through this maze of madness and dark.
All right. Hang on to your hat. See you next time.
All right. Bye, Mike.
Bye.